You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What have you got for us, Connor?
International news. Woo-hoo. So we're going to talk about... We're going to do this a bit differently, actually, because usually I would pre-record something. I'd have a whole load of clips and rah-de-rah-de-rah, and, you know, it would all be that. So what we're going to do is this is going to be a bit off the wall.
And we're going to spice it up in here.
We're going to do this, like, live, and, you know, we're going to talk... Because we're going to talk about a wide range of things.
Good.
The first thing I'm going to talk about is there's been developments on the Windrush migrants. So the Windrush migrants, I'll describe them in a little bit. So they are a group of people who were I'll just do a quick description. So they're basically a group of people who were allowed to come to the UK under the old laws of the Commonwealth between 1948 and the early 70s, and they came without documentation to the UK because it was technically domestic travel. Like, if you were in New Zealand, if you're from New Zealand and you wanted to go to London, you wouldn't need to show a passport or anything like that because it was technically domestic travel. So but now the fact that they haven't kept the records properly, what records there were, they've actually started deporting these people based on looking at their place of birth, finding out they don't have any documentation, and actually not paying any attention to the fact that maybe they have legally lived in the country for 50 years. So
and that caused then Home Secretary Amber Rudd to resign, and she's been replaced by Sajid Javid, which...
In Jamaica?
No, this is in the UK that done this. So what I'm going to do is actually, I'm going to start this off by basically just describing what Jamaica is, because the relationship that the UK has with Jamaica, because I think you should need to know it. Because, so, I mean, Jamaica's a little island nation. It's between Cuba and Haiti and the mouth of the Panama Canal. So it's in a very strategic position. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the goods that we buy in New Zealand from Europe will stop off in Jamaica on the way through the Panama Canal. Mm. Particularly now there's pirates around Somalia, so you can't really go the other way. So it's very similar, and it's very similar to New Zealand, because like New Zealand, it has the Queen as its monarch, it has a Governor General, it has a Prime Minister. Like New Zealand, it's a free democratic society wrestling with its own colonial past. Like New Zealand, a large portion of the population are descended from people from the British Isles. Like New Zealand, traditions and cultures are shaped by the people who came to the land. I mean, albeit during a much darker period of colonial history, which was industrialized slavery, which New Zealand largely escaped, mm-hmm. because New Zealand was founded after slavery was abolished. Mm-hmm. And like New Zealand, it's a bicultural nation. So,
You know, you were telling me before about the reason that the flag looks that way is to represent biculturalism, isn't it?
Absolutely. So they, you know, the people, everyone thinks of Jamaica as, you know, you'd look at a Jamaican person, usually most Jamaicans are African descended, so they have darker skin. You'd think, they're just descended from former slaves. Well, they aren't. They're a mix of former slaves who escaped the plantations and Irish indentured laborers who came over. And that's where the flag describes those people like that, because the flag of Jamaica, if you know, it's very recognizable within reggae culture and all that stuff, with the green, the gold, and the black, the Pan-African colors, and you've got the cross to represent the cross of St. Patrick. So it's both cultures together. And even in the music, you know, I was saying that earlier, you know, that reggae music is all about rebellion, hardship, and having a good time. And that's what every Irish folk song is like as well. So, and even the accent sounds very similar, very, very similar to the south of Ireland, like places like Cork and Killarney and places like that. So it's got that link to the British Isles, 400 years of culture. And basically, the reason why Jamaicans are mixed race and New Zealanders, New Zealanders, for example, aren't, is because both people were undesirable. The Irish and slaves there were undesirables. They were cast away by society. Right. So they were left to their own devices. So they just, unlike New Zealanders and Māori, where there was that institutionalized segregation, these people were just unanimously hated by the colonial powers. They didn't care what happened to them, so they just intermingled. And that's why, you know, so it's basically like, imagine if New Zealand and Māori had more freedom to intermingle. You know, you wouldn't have white people in New Zealand, you'd just have a country of mixed race people. Right. And that's what Jamaica's exactly like. But over the past year or so, the UK's decided to trample on that heritage for fun.
As they do.
And Prime Minister Andrew Holness has gone and shouted at Theresa May, basically being like, what the hell? She did that at the Commonwealth Heads of State meeting that Jacinda Ardern was at. And basically what's happened is these people who were emigrated from Jamaica, who came over in the post-war, built Jamaica up to be, built the UK up to be the country it is today after the post-war years, they... in the eyes of Westminster, they have every right to reside in the UK. They have every right to come and go as a British citizen can, as I can, as a British citizen. Right. But because they destroyed the immigration cards in 2010 in Westminster, for some unknown reason, no one knows why it happened, we're currently in a situation where the British High Commission in Kingston and the Jamaican Foreign Office are scrabbling around trying to deal with these people who have been deported to Jamaica. And these people who've been deported to Jamaica, there are people currently living rough on the street, penniless in Kingston and Port Royal, who are British citizens who've basically been forced away from their homes, their jobs, their families, the life they built for 50 years in the UK.
That sounds so dodgy that when the burning of the cards happened in 2010 that nobody knows why.
No one knows why they were destroyed, because...
it's anti-democratic.
It is, very. And I mean, you know, it just means that the very little documentation these people had to actually properly reside in the UK is gone. Now, at the moment, Sajid Javid, as Justin said, the Home Secretary, he is actually a former Windrush immigrant as well, the Windrush immigrant from Pakistan. So he's replaced Amber Rudd, and he revealed that at least 164 British citizens were revealed to be deported or wrongly detained by in this process. So 164, and apparently this has been going on for years. There have been cases of people who've been stopped at Heathrow Airport flying back from Kingston who have been taken into rooms and questioned and had basically been forced to prove their British citizenship. And, you know, on the basis that, you know, I mean, the fact that they, with very little to prove it with, because their parents or grandparents came here as domestics. So, you know, they weren't immigrants until independence in 1962 for these countries. So at the end of it all, like, this whole process has been a shambles, and frankly the UK has actually just totally soiled the relationship with the Caribbean, because these Jamaicans fought side by side with Australians, New Zealanders and Canadians in world wars. They have, you know, been long allies, they've traded, they've come to the UK, they've assimilated, they've, you know, been hard workers, they've contributed immensely to the country, and now they're being treated as they don't belong.
Yeah, just a little bit of extra info, but if you're wondering how Jamaicans contributed to the United Kingdom, Diane Abbott, the current Shadow Home Secretary in the United Kingdom, is Jamaican. And if you like a sport nut, footballers such as Raheem Sterling and Theo Walcott, they're also Jamaican
as well. Daddy G from Massive Attack, Jamaican descended. Most grime artists you'll find are Caribbean descended or Windrush descended.
Exactly.
These people make up the culture, a part of the cultural fabric of what the UK is today. And it's a legacy of our, you know, the fact of the matter is that when you are a colonial power and you trounce around the world telling everyone how great Great Britain is, it's no surprise that a whole load of people want to come and see exactly how great Britain is, and if they do find out how great it is, it's no surprise they want to stay. And I think we should be accommodating these people. Basically, to summarize, to put it in a New Zealand context, New Zealand used to own Samoa until like 1962, something like that.
Imagine if
the New Zealand government went around and started randomly deporting people who came to New Zealand from Samoa before 1962, when it was domestic travel, when they were rightfully able to do so, and said, sorry guys, Western Samoa is independent now, you guys need to go home.
But that happened in the 1970s, isn't it?
The Dawn Race
that deported quite a lot of Polynesians for no reason.
It's quite sad, and to be honest, it seems like the British government, Theresa May's apologised quite sincere, you know, seems quite sincerely.
What kind of things did she say, do you know?
She said that these people are, you know, they make exactly what I've said, they make up the fabric of the United Kingdom. They have every right to live in the United Kingdom as I am. They should be able to come and go from the UK without hindrance as much as they please.
But is it still happening to them?
It doesn't seem to be any more now that Amber Rudd has been sacked. What they're trying to deal with is the aftermath at the moment of these broken families who and put in sort of ways of actually tracking, you know, like tracking these people so they can say when they get to the border at Heathrow that I am a British citizen, here's my proof, let me into my country. That's basically what's been going on the last few days. It's all been revealed who's been deported, and yeah, it's actually quite a shame.
It is. And important to talk about that so that people get called out when it happens.
It is, 100%. You know, these people, just because they came from somewhere else, you know, they've been in the country oftentimes for three generations. I mean, I'd say someone whose grandparents came from Jamaica, who's grown up in the UK, is as British as I am. So, you know,
all immigrants.
The other thing I was going to talk about very quickly as well, very, very quickly, is I talked about the Irish border last week with...
And the implications of Brexit.
The implications of Brexit. There have been a few comments that have come out in the news, which are quite funny. Jacob Rees-Mogg, and by the way, sorry, before I start off this, these comments just show how ignorant Westminster is of the whole situation and in total. It's that old kind of... It seems they're both ignorant and really just do not care about what goes on there.
Yeah, didn't Boris Johnson told yesterday that Theresa's May Chequers plan is a suicide vest wrapped around the British Constitution?
He did say that.
Yeah, and in a article on Sunday in the Daily Mail,
what did you call it before, Justin?
The Daily Fail. Very right wing, a lot of tabloid fake stuff. And yeah, he basically attacks the idea of an Irish border.
Yeah, I mean, it is
a pretty loosey-goosey border as far as they go. But
it is, but
attacking
the concept of a border, I mean, that opinion went out of fashion in 1916. Yeah. So, that's something that you know, the border is there. That's something we have to deal with. And Boris, and I mean, Simon Coveney, who's the deputy Taoiseach Deputy Prime Minister of Ireland, has come out back saying we need to get rid of this reckless dialogue, which is fair enough. Jacob Rees-Mogg's come out saying that we need to have checks like it was at the Troubles, because that's the only way Brexit will be achieved. And everyone else has been going, do you realise the implications of that due to the IRA and the UDA and the UVF? That, I mean, that will just embolden them. They've already had graffiti painted on the road towards I think it was Pettigo, where it said prods out up the IRA. That's when stuff like that's happening, you can't really make those sorts of comments. But oh my god, the best one, I'm going to finish with this, the best one was from an MLA, a member of the Legislative Assembly from the DUP in Northern Ireland, so from County Antrim, and the DUP are one of the unionist parties. A woman called Kate Hoey said, if there's going to be a border, the Republic of Ireland are going to pay for it, which basically solidifies an opinion held by too many extreme people in the north, and seems to be in Westminster, everyone south of the Irish border is a Mexican, basically. And then to top it all off, Ian Duncan Smith came out saying, Ireland's not going to be in a position to negotiate because they're having a presidential election, without actually realizing the presidential election is like electing a governor general. The president doesn't do anything in Ireland. He's pretty much running unopposed. Everyone's going to vote for Michael D. Higgins because he's slightly magical looking. I mean, he's Ireland's resident leprechaun.
We just saw a photo of him before, and he was standing next to Bernie Sanders, who is relatively short, and Bernie Sanders looks incredibly tall next to him.
Mickey D. Higgins is gonna win that. It's Mickey a non-contest. D. And, to summarise, to be honest, there doesn't seem to be much of a situation with the Irish border. I mean, I just want to... the best I can come up with is putting old Mickey D. on a toadstool or something, whatever mushroom they sit him on, in a little suit, and just, you know, watch the lorries coming across the border and just look at them.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Connor, for another international segment. We love hearing the geopolitical whereabouts. So send us a text if you have any thoughts on those topics that we just talked about.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.